We're back for an update after a very fast Olympic time trial from one of our favorite athletes.
That's right. Arian Knighton explodes for 19.92 in the 200 meter semis at the trials.
Yeah, reminds me of that meme where Usain Bolt is just jogging and winning all the races. It could be a similar situation here. This morning, I was ecstatic to see that one of my favorite athletes, Arian Knighton, easily jogged to a victory in the preliminary round of the United States Olympic trials. And something looked a little bit different about him.
Yeah, he didn't look as much like a child. Yeah, I noticed this because he is very young to be competing at this elite level. And when we were sort of looking at the photos of him a couple weeks ago when we did the podcast, he tested positive for the trenbolone after consuming some oxtail. And I thought, this young person, he looks like a kid. You know, it's a very young and competing at a high level. And I think your exact words were that you didn't recognize him at first.
I didn't. I was used to the skinny kid that was a hard gainer and weighed 160 pounds soaking wet for his football career. He actually got an offer to play at the University of Florida and several other big Division I football programs. But he looked like he changed quite a bit. And he easily jogged to victory along with another great runner, Christian Coleman. So I'm excited to see how he does in the finals. But we also recently talked about his positive test for trenbolone, and the internet was not fooled when I peeked into the comments section of that YouTube video. I wonder if NBC has updated that yet.
I don't know. We can definitely post up some of those comments. You know, they're fun. People talked about specifically the oxtail. I don't know if they watched our podcast or not, but with the oxtail, that sort of got picked up as a very specific case, just like, you know, an athlete blaming nandrolone positive test on a burrito, right? It's very trendy. So in this case, they did clear him. Now, I think there was a stipulation that they could challenge that. Not necessarily USADA, but someone could
WADA could challenge.
Yeah, WADA could challenge, I think, was the case.
He is a little bit of a golden boy. We'll post a link to this Olympics.com official article about how he's already broken Usain Bolt's junior records, and he's done relatively little weightlifting to fill out his 164-pound frame. Although he did play high school football, and I think that football players hit the weight room a little bit if they have a chance of a D1 scholarship, don't they?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'm sure that there was a weightlifting program. I guess it depends on the high school you're going to, but certainly if you have your sights set on a D1 school, you're probably going to have some weightlifting experience. But I guess this is a little bit of a clickbait title by the Olympics.com website, which I believe is their official page. So they said, can Arian Knighton break 19 seconds for 200 meters? Which is very provocative.
It's crazy.
Usain Bolt, what was his best 200 meter?
I think it was 19.19.
19.19. Yeah, so this would be almost a full quarter second faster. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it definitely is.
Yeah, it's exponentially more difficult. Yeah.
And this is when he was 18 years old that they wrote this. So we talked a little bit about maybe the political motivations there. We always hope that those aren't, but if you had written this sort of article about one of your best and brightest, youngest upcoming stars, and they do test positive, I suppose you might be incentivized to make that situation go away. But in the background, you're also going to be telling that athlete, hey, you, assuming you do look the other way, you're making it disappear.
Yeah.
Like, hey, you definitely better not do this again, or we will not have your back.
Yeah. And track needs a big star. You know, they kind of tried to fabricate different stars and whatnot. And I do enjoy track, but the hype train is a bit too much with Arian Knighton. You don't want it to turn into an Usain Bolt situation. Well, if you're the Olympics or USATF, you do want it to turn into an Usain Bolt situation where he becomes one of the most popular, well-liked, and well-paid athletes of all time that brings in huge amounts of money to your organization. But if Usain Bolt did indeed retire because he popped positive and then they said, well, let's just brush all these tests under the rug in exchange for you retiring, I know there's a YouTube video out there that talks about the dirtiest 100 meter of all time. So the use of PEDs in sprinting is very common. And Usain Bolt was one of the very few in that era that has not received retroactive bans. So perhaps there was some sort of a deal there. Even if there was, it doesn't make anything that Usain Bolt did less impressive.
Yeah, I think a retroactive ban, like assuming they went back and they have better technology to test for those things now as they continue to develop better tests, you know, I don't think it would do the sport, it certainly wouldn't do the Olympics or track and field in general any good if Usain Bolt tested positive. It would help out the enhanced games if
it would.
They found out that he was indeed enhanced.
Yeah. Even if the enhanced games does not break any records, which I highly doubt they break the 100 meter record, I bet there's some fast times. I bet there's some sub 10 times, but not sub 9.58 or whatever the current 100 meter record is. But it at least puts a lot of heat on the regular Olympics to pay the athletes a living wage, treat them well, look the other way when they fail drug tests. I don't know if that's positive or not, but perhaps it is. It'd be interesting to see if there's more TRT exemptions given out, as an example.
Yeah. I don't know if they could fully gauge the, you know, TRT exemption. I mean, there is some variability from brand to brand, or if you're using a compounded injectable testosterone. It might extend the career of a lot of Olympians, being able to actually use testosterone and not having to hide it or subvert the doping detection system. But the biological passport, what if someone has a exaggerated response, more red blood cell production related to testosterone, and somebody else doesn't have that? Do they come down on that athlete and do they say, well, your hematocrit is 58%, so we're going to say you can't use testosterone. But this guy, his hematocrit only went up to 51%, so he can use his testosterone. It raises a whole new set of, like, where are those goalposts going to be?
Yeah. I feel like you have to compromise when it comes to those goalposts. There's no perfect goalpost, but you could set a hematocrit at 56%. And then say if you've been at altitude for so on and so forth, then you get an extra percent because of the hemo concentration. And then, of course, you have to set some guidelines with the dosing. No more than 200 milligrams per week seems pretty reasonable. And in general, clinical dosing is what is used for hypogonadal patients in the NBA, NFL, NHL, et cetera. So something very similar could be done. And I think it's great that the NBA does this. That way people can have careers until they're 40, if they want to, for certain positions at least. And if track did this, then maybe Usain Bolt would still be running. That way when you turn, you know, 33, 35, you wake up and you're achy and your recovery's not as good and your testosterone's dropping and your drive and effort feeling good isn't as much. Even if you don't set any records, perhaps you say once your testosterone drops below this level, four different age groups. So if you're a 37-year-old Usain Bolt and your testosterone's only 300, then you go ahead and give a TRT exemption. Everyone makes money. Fans are happy. And he doesn't win first place. It's pretty unlikely to happen when he's 38, 39, 40.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, you would think that humans being as we are would want to get whatever advantage we can. So the 20-year-old would be trying to make the same case to hop on TRT that the 35-year-old is going to be making to also hop on TRT.
Yeah.
Even though the 20-year-old has less to gain, there are still gains to be made.
Yeah. The gains that the 20-year-old can have is that young athletes tend to be way overhyped as prodigies, and they have a much easier time getting contracts and professional money.
Yeah. So what is the right age to allow hormone use? Is it 72 maybe?
In athletics? No, definitely not 72. Definitely earlier than 72. But oddly enough, in this same time period that we've been talking about, this individual, a teenager that just turned 20, there was a 72-year-old that popped positive as well. A very good runner and actually a world record holder, an age group record holder, I should say.
Yeah. And I think this is really interesting. This was just 2 days ago at the time of recording this. I think this is the oldest case of a positive drug test in competitive athletics that I'm aware of.
Holding my beer. Give me a try when I'm in my 80s.
We were able to go back and look at how often this person was drug tested. I guess for reference, Arion Knighton, when he ran his personal best, was not tested at all quarter one of 2022.
Only in quarter two.
Quarter two, then they tested him four times, and we don't know if these are blood or urine. There's not that granular level of detail. Mm-hmm. We'll actually put the link to the athlete test history in the comments, because I wasn't aware.
Look up your favorite athlete.
Yeah, you can see how and you can see how often and who has been tested in quarters of years. This guy, Robert Qualls, is his name. Mm-hmm. He apparently had not been tested for over a decade prior to this year when he had the one test. And I think you were telling me it was prompted by an official at this championship race that he was running in.
Yes.
And that's why WADA or USADA came out and did the testing.
Yeah, someone must have not liked him. The event organizers contacted USADA to conduct testing. They typically do not test masters athletes at all, but sometimes they test them a little bit. But he got unlucky, I guess. Maybe he said, hey, I take an Adderall before I run because I need that laser sharp focus. And then the dihydronandrolone that they found, basically 5-alpha-reduced nandrolone, was a casualty of that test as well.
Yeah, I mean, perhaps he was doing very well in his age group and somebody didn't like him. So they said, hey, let's just make up something about this guy. Turns out it's true. Or perhaps he was just chatting casually with, one of his runner colleagues. And he's like, oh, yeah, this is sort of what my regimen looks like. Mm-hmm. I'm prescribed some Adderall for my ADHD. And my doctor gives me some nandrolone for my joints.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty likely. And I think that he should be allowed to do that. Surely there's not that much money. If there's not more than $5,000 of prize money per average event for this age group track thing, then I feel like they should be able to do whatever their doctor is giving them a prescription to do. They should not need any special TRT exemption or Adderall exemption.
Yeah, I mean, it's 72. Certainly he's competitive. He's at the top of that category. I think his personal best, so the 70-plus world record for the mile was, what I believe, just over 5.5 minutes. It was 5:33. Mm-hmm. He ran not quite, but very close to a 20-minute flat 5K. Mm-hmm. And not in the above 70 category. I couldn't find any 10Ks that he had ran. But I think when he was 68 or 69, he ran a very close to 40-minute flat 10K.
It's really impressive.
Very impressive times. Yeah. Faster than me, mm-hmm. Not quite as fast as yourself.
Yeah, I'll probably be slower than that when I'm 70. I don't know, maybe not. I'll probably be on TRT, and maybe I will be on a little nandrolone when I'm in my 70s. I think it's very unlikely I'll be on any sort Adderall. Of amphetamine, though. Extremely unlikely.
There'll be better things than amphetamines by the time we're in our 70s.
This guy's an ecologist, former professor. He would, if he lived near us, we would be friends for sure. I think that this is ridiculous that they banned him until he was 75. So really, I just feel bad for this guy. He's a casualty of people that they should be testing. And again, in the comments, if he's winning 50,000, 100,000 per race, correct me. And I will admit that I'm wrong. He should not be giving an unfair advantage if there's huge amounts of money. But if he's winning hundreds of dollars, then it's not a big deal.
And now, for the next 3 years, he has to go compete in the enhanced games.
He should.
I don't know if they have a master's division, but that would be sort of the bread and butter for the enhanced games would be like older athletes who can have a longer career. But he also was forthcoming. He wasn't like all those CrossFit athletes that appealed their tests immediately. He was like, yep, I did it. And they took a year off of his ban, so it's only 3 years instead of the standard four.
I respect that. Ideally, they would have taken 3 years off of his ban, but that's okay. He is certainly not a favorite.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to stop training. I think he's just going to keep doing his thing. He's a recreational and professional athlete. He has his other career, mm-hmm. so it's not like running is his whole identity. So he'll probably keep up with his training. And, I mean, mm-hmm. at this point, there's no reason to not use his PEDs other than health risks, if those are there. So he can just keep doing his thing, run in casual races, community things like yourself? You're running a community 5K in the near future?
Yeah, I am. I will reach out to him. I will see if he wants to come. I'll see if he has an Instagram and if he would be open to doing some sort of a podcast. I don't think I ever go to Reno. Conferences, medical conferences are almost always in Las Vegas or Florida because that's where physicians like to go. But it would be fun and interesting to see if he is willing and able to talk about what protocol he was doing, maybe what longevity Mayo clinic that he was getting his nandrolone from.
Yeah. Synergenix is out of Nevada, aren't they?
Yeah, their head base, I think, is in the Vegas area, if I remember right.
Yeah, so it's in the state. Doesn't mean that he's necessarily going there. I'm not insinuating
they
that.
They do prescribe nandrolone.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a
That's probably secret, not a secret. I think, no. Yeah, lots of longevity clinics will, on occasion, prescribe nandrolone.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, those are just two cases that we thought were particularly interesting. If the individuals from the Enhanced Games are still listening, which I know they do from time to time, because we've messaged back and forth, I think via LinkedIn or maybe even Instagram, but certainly LinkedIn, then let us know if they are going to have an age group. I can't think of anything that I would do as an age group in the Enhanced Games.
Meaning like slicing up the track and field events by age? Or
correct. I can't think of any event that I do. It's track and field and swimming is the two that I know that are confirmed.
Yeah. Combat sports.
They're doing combat sports for sure.
Yep.
That's terrifying.
I did go back and listen to that, and combat sports are in because they generate a lot of views, just like track and field generates a lot of views. So it's a good business move.
So for combat sports, you have a whole team of sports med doctors, orthopedic surgeons, PM&R doctors, presumably.
I'm not sure. I haven't looked at their
vascular specialists
advisory team. I know that they have some clinicians.
Electrophysiologists. They should have an EPS for sure.
Yeah. I haven't looked. We should and review their current like scientific advisory board at some point because it's been a while since I looked. The last update I saw, they added a naturopath to the Enhanced Games, which was ironic, but they do support, you know, balanced use. And there are natural products that can enhance performance. So I suppose that's fair, but it was just kind of funny to see. It tickled my brain the right way.
Yeah, that is interesting. Anyway, future podcast on that. We'll add that to the list. I think that about sums it up for this quick update. But as the Olympic trials and also Olympics go on, we'll continue to provide various updates about tests that we see or our favorite athletes or least favorite athletes. And as the CrossFit Games continues to go on, we will also do that. I did see that Dave Castro mentioned that when the Enhanced Games told Joe Rogan that there was no USADA or WADA testing in CrossFit, which basically means no sanctioned testing, which is true. CrossFit does their own type of testing. It's not, it's USADA compliant, but it's not USADA, if that makes sense. That he was bragging that they had three or four people pop positive, minor athletes that I had never heard of as someone that goes to a CrossFit gym multiple times per week. So I thought that was an interesting PR choice.
Yeah, and unsurprisingly, I think three of the four pop positive for Carterine in a very, you know, endurance-heavy sport. It kind of makes sense that they would be using that. Not that it's the right thing or that they should be, but, you know, it makes sense. Whereas sometimes you see people using agents that don't really seem to make sense for their sport.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe some runners just want to be big with bigger muscles, so they take anabolic steroids. Anyway, I think that's about it for today. Let us know if there's any other cases of positive drug tests that we should review or health concerns that we should dive into in the regular Olympics, the Enhanced Games, the CrossFit Games. We do have a short talk on, well, depending on where it goes, a short bit about vertebral artery dissections and carotid artery dissections and various things that could cause it coming in the future.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one to record, so watch for that. Let us know what you think is too young to dope, too old to dope, and let us know what you thought of the podcast in the comments. Thank you for your time, and thank you for watching. May God bless you with health and happiness.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.